Wednesday morning broadcast. Don't forget our friends at Art Scroll have a promo code for us. You go to artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code Radio24. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein has been a guest of ours before, is with us live via telephone. He has some amazing books, including the brand new one, The Light and the Splendor. Chanukah Tu Bishvat, The Radiance and Inspiration of the Days of Triumph and Gratitude. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein, go to artscroll.com, order the book, perfect for Chanukah. Chanukah is a week away, and make sure to use promo code Radio24 for your free shipping and major discount. Again, it's The Light and the Splendor. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Good morning, Menachem.
Great to speak to you. Mazal Tov on the brand new book. We will get to the association of Chanukah and Tu Bishvat, which is intriguing for anybody who glances at the cover of your book. But why don't we start with some of the things that you discuss about Chanukah. Chanukah is a week away. Traditionally, Rabbi Gladstein, we have been told that Chanukah is 8 days, but the actual miracle, since there was oil for one day, the actual miracle would be for 7 days, right? Because it was these seven additional days that would be the quote-unquote miraculous ones. And there are answers, including some classic ones, to this question. But nonetheless, you take the opportunity to discuss it in your book. What is your answer when people ask, why 8 instead of 7?
Well, so this is probably the the iconic question in Judaism. You know, when I was a kid, they had a book, they had a sefer called Ner Lamea that offered 100 answers to this question.
Right.
And now actually there's a sefer that has 500 answers to the Beis Yosef's question. This question is classically attributed to the Beis Yosef. And the irony of it is here the Syrian Greeks attempted to make us forget the Torah. And if they would have only known that they are responsible for the proliferation of more Torah than any other nation. I mean, look what they did. They have caused us to delve and ponder this question about Hanukkah. And as the years go by, there's more and more answers and more Torah. So, you know, they're probably, kicking themselves that they ever started up in the first place.
So it would be unfair for me to ask you if you have a favorite of those 100 or 500. That would be crazy.
Yeah, but there's one particular answer that many like to say over, and I like to try to uncover the depth behind it. Many say, well, the first day, one extra day, is for the miracle that oil burns in the first place. That's a classic answer.
I thought the classic answer was that the war was the first day, that commemorates the fact they were able to be victorious in that miraculous war.
Yeah, that's another
right.
That's another good answer. You know, the Pri Chadash gives that answer, but in terms of the approach that we can't take it for granted that oil burns in the first place. You know, we're used to the routine. We're used to just what we call nature, that you light a candle, you light oil, and it burns.
Right.
But it's really inexplicable. We can't explain it. And this sort of enlightens us to look, to pull the veil behind what we call nature and realize that it's really all the divine hand of Hashem. But the question really is, okay, you know, that's a nice answer, but what does that have to do with Chanukah?
Right.
You know, we could, technically, you could tack on an extra day to any holiday, to any Yom Tov. You know, why don't we have an extra day of Sukkot? 8 days for the clouds of glory and 1 day for clouds. You know, clouds are miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
Condensation, evaporation,
right.
Precipitation. You know, what does this have to do with Chanukah? And this really cuts to the essence of Chanukah, because the Yevanim, the Greeks, they aggrandized, they idolized exterior beauty and the way a person looks. And that's how they looked at other people. Body image, body sculpting, a muscle tone, and that's also how they looked at the world. They said, we only believe what we could see, what we could measure, what we could computate, what we could calculate. If it rains, it's because there's condensation and precipitation. But we sort of pull the veil away and we say, no, not everything is the way it seems. There's an internal beauty of how the world operates. When we pray, when we do mitzvahs, when we learn Torah, when we put on tefillin, that actually causes rain. We may not understand it. We may not be able to compute it and calculate it, but not everything is its external appearance. It's about the internal workings of Hashem's hand.
Right, but, so, yeah, I'm sorry. You just got me thinking, because what's on the mind of Jews around the world? The hostages. And we wonder if the things that we do in their schus helps. And what you just said only confirms that it can only help.
Right. So this message is, like you're pointing out, very timely.
Right.
Because sometimes we say, well, you know, only our lobbying or only our rallies or only our letter writing or only our pressure can really effectuate any change. But will my tehillah make a difference? Will my behavior make a difference? Will my observance make a difference? So we believe that the internal workings of all affairs in the world are really energized by Torah mitzvahs. And this is the central battle between the Greeks and the Jewish people. So tacking on an extra day for the miracle that oil burns is not just a nice cute answer, but it's actually the essence of the message of Hanukkah.
Amazing. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein is with us. The book is called The Light and the Splendor. Recommending it, artscroll.com. Use promo code radio24. Your subtitle is The Radiance and Inspiration of the Days of Triumph and Gratitude. So let's discuss those two concepts as related to these two special times on the Jewish calendar. Hanukkah being a day of triumph is not a stretch, right? We look at it as the ultimate victory, Rabim Biyad Ma'atim, etc. I'm assuming that's where you were going with that, right? That it's a true triumph for the Jewish people. But aside from those who are getting amazing Hanukkah gifts and Hanukkah gelt, why do you refer to it as a day of gratitude?
Well, okay. That's, you see, I always enjoy my conversations with you because you cut to the core of the matter.
Thank you.
You know, Hanukkah is, we say we light the candles, l'haydos u'lehallel, to thank Hashem and to praise Him. Which, gratitude on Hanukkah is so essential to the day, and I'm glad to be able to share this with your wider audience, that there are halachic opinions that if you merely perform the mitzvah of lighting the menorah, like any other act of a mitzvah, like putting on tefillin, like sitting in the sukkah, and you just say, look, Hashem gave us this mitzvah, and I do it with love, that you are missing an essential ingredient. The mitzvah is not to light the menorah. The mitzvah is to light the menorah as an expression of gratitude. Wow. And if you're lacking that thought and that feeling, you're not missing, so to speak, a higher level of performance. You're missing something essential. The core of the day of Hanukkah is an expression of a gratitude to Hashem. It's interesting, connecting to what we discussed earlier, you know, one of the challenges that human beings, especially in our times, in modern times, have about having gratitude to Hashem is we look at the world externally. We say, what should I be grateful for? That I have a salary? I have a salary because I go to work.
Right.
What should I be grateful for? That I have children? I have children because I got married. That's the way the world works. There's certain systems in place, and I did what I need to do, and the results came about. But if you sort of pull the veil away and realize, what do you mean you have children because you got married? Is that just automatic, or is there somebody pulling the strings miraculously with compassion and kindness, granting you those children? Someone with compassion and love giving you that salary, giving you that home, giving you your family and your friends and your well-being and all the blessings of life. So in a world of what we call hadar, external beauty, just looking at the way things look, we have a hard time having gratitude. It's when we pull the veil away and overcome the notion of Greece and realize everything is from the good graces of the Almighty, then we say, you know what? Nothing is coming to me. I can't, I'm not entitled to anything.
I wonder.
It's all the kindness of the Creator.
I wonder if that's how Chanukah Gelt began, to try to work on our gratitude.
Yeah, that's important to make sure the kids say, okay, you know, when's it coming? You know, yeah. You know, I hope they don't start sending an invoice for the Chanukah Gelt, you know.
No. Trust me, it's not just guilt anymore. But I really wonder if that's one of the things about our customs, that we try to, you know, make people, you know, incorporate appreciation, gratitude, thankfulness into what they're receiving, into, you know, because otherwise, not quite sure, you know, where it applies to the holiday. But I think that, you know, this element that you're bringing up, I think really could be part of the whole thing. The Light and the Splendor is the name of the book. The Radiance and Inspiration of the Days of Triumph and Gratitude, or by Daniel Gladstein, is with us live via telephone. So if one is working on their gratitude toward the one above, and one acknowledges all these smaller miracles, or I shouldn't say smaller, but other miracles that are taking place or that are commemorated by Chanukah aside from the oil, are they then observing the holiday correctly? Are there other elements that you would suggest people need to keep in mind, other themes as well, in order to make it a well-rounded Chanukah observance?
Yeah, so I would say that gratitude is the primary emotion and feeling that we should be focused on.
Right.
But like all Jewish observance, it's a combination of the understanding and feeling together with the fulfilling the minutia, the halachic parameters and details. So, you know, in our times, the correct time to light is when people are around.
Right.
I mean, that's the purpose of the miracle, to parsume nisa, to spread the miracle. But it's worthwhile for people to be familiar with the ideal times to light if they and their family members are home. For instance, you know, the opinion of Moshe Feinstein, which many are not aware of, was the ideal time is quite early,
right,
about 13 to 18 minutes after Shkia, after sundown.
Jerusalem-like.
Yeah, right.
And they light early.
Of course, right, in Yerushalayim, maybe they're not even earlier than that.
Right.
But in American culture, many people are not even home from work. But let's say on a Sunday or on a day off, it's worthwhile to be aware of that. Actually, there's another interesting halacha that many are not so familiar with, and that is what we call Hadlaka Oisa Mitzvah, that the mitzvah is the kindling, which means, and this is like a very fine point, that it would not be sufficient to just touch candle to candle or wick to wick, and as soon as it ignites, then you move on to the next, but actually to hold the candle there until the majority of the fire that will spread to the wick has done so, which is a few extra moments,
right.
In other words, not to just ignite and let the fire spread by itself, but you're the one actively causing whatever part of the wick will burn to burn. So that's just holding it there a few extra moments. And it's worthwhile to pay attention to these details, because the Gemara offers a really fantastic promise that one who is careful with the lights of Chanukah will merit God-fearing children. And, you know, certainly foremost on every parent's mind are the spiritual welfare, emotional welfare, physical welfare of their children. And this is really a beautiful gift from Hashem to enable us to reap the nachas from our children that we all hope and pray for.
I wonder if that has to do with the fact that we don't use the candles for anything. You won't read by the candles, you won't utilize their light for your benefit. I wonder if that's also a certain level of respect, the same level of respect in Yerushalayim that we pray for in our children. We are displaying that we are respecting this Dvar Mitzvah that commemorates the miracle to the utmost degree possible.
Right.
Got to do a word on Tu B'Shvat after Kislev and Teves, which is, of course, the months of the Chanukah holiday. We get to Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. I didn't even realize until I saw your book that there could be a relationship between these two special times, the week of Chanukah and the day of Tu B'Shvat. But you do, in fact, include it when you say a day of triumph and gratitude. So could you give us a word about Tu B'Shvat and why one would call it a day of triumph and gratitude?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are many dimensions and thoughts about Tu B'Shvat. One that I'm always particularly hopeful about is the Gemara teaches us, the Talmud teaches us, that, of course, we're all waiting for the redemption. We're all eagerly yearning for the Geula. And the Gemara says, well, you know, is there anything about what happens in this world that could give us a premonition, give us some kind of inkling that it's on the way? And the Gemara says that there's no greater sign of the coming of the redemption than in the proliferation of the fruits of the land of Israel. That if you see that the land of Israel is becoming fertile and the fruits are developing and they're producing lush and delicious, sweet fruits, that is the greatest sign of the Geula of redemption. And the Gemara even says that's the juxtaposition in the Amidah, in the Shemona Esrei, where we first say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mevarech Hashanim, the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. We ask Hashem to bless the fruits of the land of Israel. And then we say, Tika b'shofar gadol, blow the great shofar heralding in the Mashiach.
Right.
So there is an idea that as we savor and we taste the fruits of Tu B'Shvat, we're anticipating and hoping to taste that redemption, to see how the land of Israel in the last 70 years has gone from marshland and uninhabited region to one of the most lush and beautiful countries in the entire world. And as the land develops and as the fruits proliferate and as they become more and more delicious, so we're yearning and we taste the impending geula. So that's a very hopeful aspect of Tu B'Shvat that I look forward to.
And there's plenty of triumph in there, and there's plenty of gratitude in there, to say the least. just the way that we speak about our land, I'm referring to Israel, of course, the way we speak about our land in Al-Amichya and benching and our tefillah, just the way we speak about that in and of itself is gratitude. The way we talk about it and the way we pray for it to flourish and to be fertile, as you just described, that's also a massive reflection of the gratitude we have toward the one above for the land that is ours. And that's great. And is that the theme? I mean, the reason the two of them, Chanukah and Tu B'Shvat, end up on this in the same book is because of the thread of the triumph and gratitude that goes through both of them.
Yeah, well, that's. I thank you for discovering what the common theme is. Another common theme is that, you know, it keeps the book foremost for another 6 weeks.
Rabbi Gladstein is revealing all the publishing secrets. Well, it's a good one. And now in the months of Kislev and Teves and Shvat, we can enjoy the light and the splendor. Check it out, everybody. It's an Art Scroll book. It's Rabbi Daniel Gladstein, who always comes out with amazing stuff. Chanukah Tu B'Shvat, the radiance and inspiration of the days of triumph and gratitude, the light and the splendor. It will enhance your Chanukah, which begins a week from tonight. And now when you light, you're going to be thinking about Rabbi Gladstein. I know that I will, as you wait an extra second or two to make sure that wick lights an entire flame before you move on to the next candle. Check out the book. Go to artscroll.com. Promo code RADIO24 for your free shipping and your major discount. Go to artscroll.com, promo code RADIO24. And Rabbi Gladstein does not spend a lot of time on the issue of $15 donuts or the size requirement of the potato latkes. Correct, Rabbi Gladstein? You felt that wasn't urgent.
That's right.
You felt it wasn't urgent.
You know, first of all, that deserves an entire book unto itself. But
true.
I will say, my father always says regarding some of those eateries, Ein lanu reshus lehishtamish bahem ela leroysam bilvad.
But leroysam could sometimes be dangerous because then you can't hold
exactly.
Back. Rabbi Gladstein, I take this opportunity to wish you a Chag Urim Sameach, a very happy and Freilich and Chanukah.
V'chein lamar, speaking to you already increases my joy. Looking forward to the Yom Tov, and I wish you as well. Chag Urim Sameach. Happy Hanukkah to everyone. Thank you very much.
Check out Rabbi Gladstein's book, artscroll.com, promo code radio24. More coming up. It is a Wednesday morning edition of JM in the AM.